Only a Game is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
Say sports and poetry to most people, and they are likely to think Casey at the bat and then stop thinking. And if they stop thinking for long enough, perhaps they'll remember Super Bowl haiku. This may not be the case after this year's Wimbledon tennis tournament has run its course, however, because for the first time in its storied history, Wimbledon has a poet. His name is Matt Harvey, and his official title is Championships Poet. He took a few moments to join me from Wimbledon this week, shortly after the longest tennis match in recorded history had ended. I began our conversation by asking Mr. Harvey if I should address him as your poetship, or perhaps my Lord Monger of Verse.
You can feel free. I'll answer to pretty much most things that people say to me. But if you just stick with Matt for now, partly just to save time.
I'll do it then. Matt, how did this appointment come to be?
Well, Wimbledon have had a championship artist for the last 4 years, and they've all been visual artists, painters and illustrators, and they decided to take a little leap to one side, go for a poet. They approached the Poetry Trust and said, well, what do you think? Who do you recommend? And they said, well, try Matt. They heard me on the radio and thought, I'll go and we will, and here I am.
Excellent. Now, are there any perks? Do you get robes or a scepter, or perhaps a special hat?
You know what? I don't need robes. I don't need a scepter or a special hat. What I have is a very special laminated badge that gets me access pretty much all areas. People would die for this badge.
Yes.
So I can go anywhere except the players' dressing rooms. What it doesn't do, this is tragic, it doesn't get me just free access to centre court or the show courts whenever I would like. And that's because Wimbledon are saying to me, look, could you focus more on the background and the umpires and the ball boys and the queue and the strawberries and the Boston Ivy clambering up the side of the buildings? You're not a sports poet, Matt. They say, you're not a sports journalist, poet. So I'm here to really write about the setting. And having said that, people are saying, hey, what an amazing match, isn't there? And Mahou, what are you going to do, Matt? What are you going to do?
Well, the question on that one is, are you going to write a really long poem to commemorate that match?
What I decided to do when I woke up this morning was to celebrate with a haiku.
Perfect.
I think the longest game in history needs to be celebrated with the shortest verse form. I actually did write before it finished. I wrote the Isner Mahou haiku.
Well, perhaps we should hear it.
Well, perhaps we should. I shall immediately find it. I'm just having brought it up, I should at least read it. I think it goes, high performance play all day and yet no climax. It's tantric tennis.
I was anticipating one that would perhaps say all day, all day, all day. Just go on.
It took a detour at that point. It should have done. I'm actually soliciting input from the general public on this. You know, short poems, I think, are the best way to celebrate this extraordinary event of, you know, this particular game. I'm asking people to tweet haiku couplets to me at Wimbledon Poet on Twitter, and they will all go up in the Wimbledon blog as they come.
Well, I'm sure you can count on responses from some of our listeners, but first, we should give them an idea of your versatility, because the haiku is hardly all that you've mastered. Perhaps you could read at least the first 14 lines of the poem titled Thwack.
Could I be perverse and read the last 14 lines?
I think you're the poet.
You know, this is a whole game. It's a whole game of tennis from love all to game. We join it at 40-30. Bounce, 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 bounce. Thwack, 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 plock, thwackety blick, thwackety black, tuity, froity, froity, tuity, slowity, quickity, quickity, slowity, turnity, headity, headity, turnity. Seems like we've been here a blimmin' eternity, rightity, leftity, rightity, toppity, spinity, backhandy, slicity, lookity, watchity, scratchity, botity, fabulous forehand, backhandy, slicity, furious forehand, savagely slicity, fearsome ferocity, vicious velocity, bilious backhand, blasted so blistery, half a mile out with that line judge's history. Out! Game. New balls, please.
Wonderful. It's just breathtaking.
You know what people say? It's a little bit of fun for the kids. You look at those lines, eternity, headity, headity, eternity. Seems like we've been here a blooming eternity. I think they're prophetic lines.
Well, do you suppose that one of these lines will one day be carved into a gate at Wimbledon? Are we talking about eternity here?
I think there's every possibility. Maybe it's just me offered a fantasy trip. I don't know. It's hard to tell. I like to think some kind of brass plaque, maybe inlaid, perhaps along St. Mary's Walk or the foot of Henman Hill. Just thwack. Plonk,
well, it's evident that you've had no fun with this difficult task at all.
Well, you know, I think there was a certain amount of permission. They said to me at the beginning, Matt, You've got absolute carte blanche here, but just please don't embarrass us. And okay, you know, I'm willing just to tread a fine line, but it's something that I'm willing to do out of my sense of duty.
How very British of you.
Yes, I'm feeling it. As the days go by, I feel increasingly British, actually. I'm actually English, and of course, the English are British. Mm-hmm. And it's an interesting area, the whole British. I'd like to read you my Andy Murray poem.
Well, I was going to say, there is another poem that I'd like you to read that rather addresses that situation called One of Ours.
Yes, absolutely. I'll read you One of Ours. If ever he's brattish or brutish or skittish, he's Scottish. But if he looks fittish and his form is hottish, he's British.
Poems should condense a great deal of meaning and tension into a short space, and hottish certainly does it, doesn't it?
It does. Is that a word? I'm sure it's a word, yeah. I mean, it's there in the canon of English literature now, so it must be.
It must be. You mention Andy Murray. Obviously, each time Wimbledon rolls along, the English hope for somebody from England to win either the women's side, the men's side, or both sides. Are you rooting for Murray?
I am, as it happens, yeah. I don't have many other people to root for, to be honest. But I do like the guy. And, of course, we see a lot of him over here in the UK, and we follow his progress. And so I feel like, even though I don't really know him, I feel like I've got to know him. I've sort of watched him mature as a player and as a man. And so I would really like him to do very, very well and go all the way here. That would give me enormous pleasure, even though it would put great pressure on me to write perhaps a more solemn poem to celebrate it. But I'd be willing to make the effort.
Well, I can see as you might root for Andy Murray because nothing rhymes with Federer.
In Federer's first close call with Fire, I imagine Fire as a bounty hunter, and in his back pocket a wanted poster. Federer, dead or alive. And I thought, you know, that would do.
Oh, well, that's excellent. I'm very... Somebody told me that you had tried to rhyme Federer with et cetera, and I was a little dubious about that.
I think tried is the wrong word there. I think I actually did.
Ah.
No, I confessed that to a journalist that I was working on a little sonnet that might try and get away with that. And actually, I think that little sonnet's working quite well. I'm probably going to put it up on the blog later and hope no one notices.
Well, I'm sure people will notice and they'll be delighted by it, as they are sure to be by everything that you're producing. But there are challenges in this tournament. What do you do if Elena Dementieva ends up winning?
I put her name in the middle of the line.
I
repeat what I said at the very beginning of the tournament when I was first talking to people, saying, I'm really here to write about the grass and the strawberries and the umpires and the ball boys. I actually say to them, please leave me alone to create. I'm a poet. I need space.
Yeah. Of course, you could always go with Dementieva made a Seva too, didn't she?
Hey!
Do you get to name a successor? Because I wouldn't mind spending a fortnight at Wimbledon.
Do I get to know, actually? I haven't approached this. I've spent a lot of today waving my laminate badge at people and saying, I'm the Queen's here. I'm the poet. could I step the other side of the purple cord, please?
Bring her on, please.
It didn't happen for me today.
I'm sorry.
Asked me to step away.
I wonder if you might take us out with a final poem of your choosing.
I tell you what, here's celebrating just the grass itself. It's called More Than a Lawn.
Mm.
And yeah, I must tell you that I make reference to Eddie Seawood. He's the head groundsman here at Wimbledon. Okay, more than a lawn. It's a lawn, just a lawn, but it's more than a lawn. It's a dance floor, a war zone, a platform, a stage, showcase, coliseum, a ring, a fight cage, big top debating hall, combat arena, goldfish bowl, cauldron, a cliche convener, petri dish, pressure cooker, drama provider, physics laboratory. Small Hadron Collider. It's all these things, sort of. But what is it not? It isn't a park or a nice picnic spot. It's not an allotment. There's no strawberry patch, but the bounce will be true and the bounces will match those on all the courts made by the Wimbledon crew. It's still just a lawn, but one made by the best. A regular lawn, but a lawn that is blessed. Just a lawn made of grass, but a lawn that's possessed of a singular, unparalleled beauty. And Eddie Seawood expects every blade of grass to do its duty.
Well, I don't know what to say, except his words are most lively, his syllables bounce right by other poets whom he'd likely trounce if they had the tennis balls to take his measure. His verse is a bloody delight and a pleasure. Thank you, Matt Harvey, Championships poet, for speaking with me.
Well, thank you, Bill. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
The Wimbledon poet and I had a chat. I hope that you've had a good laugh about that. We might once again speak in 2011. Perhaps I'll be poet then. That would be heaven. In any case, he will be part of our show when it airs on Saturday, sun, rain, or snow. We'll also have a story about the two young women who may represent the next generation of U.S. tennis champions, and we'll be updating the World Cup action with Grant Wall, who's in South Africa. We'll have a story about what it was like in front of the high-def TV at the Goethe Institute when Germany was playing first Australia and then Ghana. And I'll be speaking with New Yorker editor David Remnick, who's also the editor of The Only Game in Town, a collection of the best sports writing appearing in The New Yorker over the past 8 decades or so. So whether it's tennis or reading you like, or soccer perhaps, while you're riding a bike, please join us on Saturday for the new show, or hey, you can listen whenever, you know? That's another way of saying you can always hear the program at onlyagame.org.